Well, I want you to be seated and close your eyes for a moment. What men of God have got to learn is when God does something and you had a plan and God changes it, you go with God, not with your plan. Close your eyes a moment. David said, all men walk in a vain show. That word is spelled S-H-E-W. It's a theatrical term. All men walk in a vain show. They're acting out. They're following a script. It was Tennyson who said, all men lead lives of quiet desperation. The housewife, the farmer, the college professor. It doesn't matter what your walk of life is. There's a quiet desperation. Sometimes an arrogant minister will think, well, my sermon is really going to help people. Sermons don't help people unless there's an anointing. And sometimes there can be an anointing without a sermon. And sometimes the greatest sermon of all comes through singing. Because you see, music is the one art form that bypasses the brain and goes right to the heart. Every other art form requires a mental decision, not music. And David screamed out, all men walk in a vain show. And then he said, what am I waiting for? My hope is in God. Let me tell you about America. Never seen a time where our children had less hope than they do right now. Our government sends them terrible messages. We're going to give you a needle so you can do your drugs in a sanitary way. We're going to give you a condom because you can't control yourself. Do you ever think what we're saying to them? The message between the message? You're a lower class being. When you believe in someone, you said, you know, I know you know better. I know you're waiting for something better. But why wait? That's what the Holy Spirit is saying right now. What are you waiting for? You can say like David, all men walk in a vain show. There's not a young person in this room that doesn't know another member of your generation that is on a self-destructive course. Every one of you can predict who in your class and on your campus will be dead in less than 2 years. And they will die because nobody ever stopped the bleeding in their soul. Nobody ever told them, you don't have to live like that. Now I'm going to say, why wait to the end of this sermon? Why wait after this astonishing display of music, when God is able right now to use every note that was sung to speak to your soul? I need more. It's got to be more than this, Mario. It's got to be more love. It's got to be more truth. It's got to be more purpose and meaning. Sometime you think about tomorrow, and it can be absolutely paralyzing fear. What's going to happen to me? How is my future going to turn out? So you see, Satan invents peer pressure. He comes to a young heart and says, hide among your generation. Muffle the cry of your soul. And don't you dare open your heart and pray a prayer that says, God, if you're real, let me know. If I can be free, let me know. If I can wake up every morning knowing that I've got a Father who will always love me and will never forsake me. Now, I'm going to do this right now because it's what I do. It's what I live for. I don't want you in pain. I want the next 5 minutes to say my whole life was changed. Everything I thought, everything I feared, everything I held on to, I suddenly let go that I might inherit the kingdom of God. And I became a new person, person of faith, person of forgiveness and power. I know that there is a life I was born to live, but I haven't found it yet. Now get ready to put your hand in the air. Get ready to put your hand in the air. Wherever you are, wherever you can hear the sound of my voice, I'm telling you the power of God is all over you. This is my night to get over the painful divorce that I've been through. To get over the drugs, pornography, fear, doubt. It's time. What am I waiting for? David said, my hope is in God. The better day that I want is right in front of me. Now, I could pray for you. I can say a prayer and ask the power of God to take loneliness, fear, depression, confusion, and pain straight out of you. Help me to do that for you. Help me to help you. I want a new life, Mario. That's what I want. Put your hand in the air if that's what you want. Stand on your feet if that's what you want. Stand up. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I want every one of you that have stood on your feet, find the nearest aisle and walk up here right now. And if you should have stood up, stand up now. Make your way down here. God is going to receive you. God is going to receive you. God is going to receive you. Somebody start clapping your hand for all that the Lord is doing. If we have workers in the house that pray with souls, get up here quickly. I know how well this church is trained. Get up here quickly right now. How many of you are proud of these people that had the courage to walk up here today? Say hallelujah. Every one of you standing before the Lord in the front, put your hands in the air. Say this prayer after me and house of God, join in with me. Say, Lord Jesus, every man walks in a vain show. But what am I waiting for? My hope is in God. You are the hope of my life. You are the controller of my future. You are the sustainer of my heart. Let your blood wash me now. Let your life flood me now. I see you on the cross, dying for me. And then you rose again. I know that the power of God is on my body to set me free, put my name in the book of life, and make me a new creation according to the mercy of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody give the Lord a shout for what you're watching up there. This is the best of the best of the best. Clap louder, everyone, please. This is it. Now, I know that we have designated probably a part of this church, Pastor, for people to be ministered to. Do we have a prayer room or an area where we can take them, or should we leave them here? Leave them here? Yes, sir. Glory to God. Everybody stand up for a moment, will you? Would you congratulate these people that came forward? And workers, direct them back to their seats right now.
Hallelujah.
Everybody said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Raise your hands one moment more. We're about to hear the word of the Lord. We're about to hear the word of the Lord. We're about to hear the message from the Lord. And well, are you ready to receive from God? What if it removed cancer from your body? You say, Mara, this has been a full service already. Are you kidding me? There's such a hunger in this room for more of God. Now, we're not going to try to set a record for how long we can have church, but we will leave satisfied that the Lord has touched us on every level. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everybody clap for the Lord, will you? Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. How many of you love the Lord? All day today, I have been burning in the Spirit. All day. The anointing is here. And those of you that think that there's no power in this room, you couldn't be more wrong. Because there's power in this room. How many of you feel the presence of the Lord? Raise your hand. If you didn't feel it during this worship, you don't need a blessing. You need a resurrection. What should I say to you now? A phrase that the Lord put in my heart. A question. What kind of preachers do we need now? Why would you ask us that? Because so many of you in this room are preachers. There are a collection of you that are here tonight that have ministry gifts. How many of you believe that you have a ministry gift from the Lord? Raise your hand right now. Leave your hand up. Look around. Now, we're not going to have an ordination service, but I'm going to talk to my audience. What kind of preacher do we need now? One thing that I don't want to do tonight is appear negative, unbelieving, condemning. None of that is in my spirit. I agree with Pastor. I believe the greatest revival America's ever seen is about to strike. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be in it. And I don't care what changes God has to put me through to put me in it. I'm going to be in it. Wave your hand right now at me right now. You're not doing it enough. I say, Lord, resurrect this audience right now. How many of you want to be in the middle of it? How many of you want to be in the glory when the glory comes? I want to talk to you about how people are packaging the prophetic right now. In Esther 4, verse 1, it says, when Mordecai learned all that had happened, we just made the stupidest agreement with Iran that we could ever make with anybody. We not only put nuclear power into the hands of a group that want to vaporize Israel, but we'll build missiles that could reach us. Not only did we agree to let them do it, we offered them, and they took it, $11.9 billion. So we told them to stop. They said no. And then we said, that's an agreement. And here's money. Somebody tell me, is that there's three kinds of stupid, and that's all three. You still love me? But you see, there was a similar moment in the book of Esther when Mordecai heard that money had been set aside to annihilate the Jews. And he began to wear sackcloth and ashes. I want to read this story to you. You may want to follow me, Esther 4. I'll begin at verse 1. Mordecai learned all that had happened. He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes. Again, I don't want to be negative or down. Believe me. And he went out in the midst of the city and cried out with a loud, bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, verse 2, for no one might enter the king's gate wearing sackcloth and ashes. In every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Look at verse 4. Everybody look at it. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai, to take his sackcloth away from him, that he would not accept them. He would not accept it. You see, the tendency in American marketing is to put glad rags on preaching. And I want to tell you, there is nothing more positive. Look at me right now. There, if you don't ever hear anything Mario Murillo ever said to you as long as you live, this is the last time you ever hear me preach, remember what I'm about to tell you. The secret to power is to tell the truth in love. You're not helping me enough. I'm going to say, the secret to power is to tell the truth in love. Now, there's times where the truth is, rise and be healed. There are other times where it is, if you repent, God will bless you. Mordecai knew that death had come to Israel, and he put on sackcloth and ashes. Now, I need to say this, and I need a loud amen. America is messed up. The decision by the Supreme Court to tell the states that they had no right to decide what marriage was. The decision by the Supreme Court to say a man ought to marry a man and a woman ought to marry a woman went against everything that our Constitution taught. This is not a debate about condemning gay people. It's a debate about the process of government that our founding fathers gave us. They left their job, they violated their calling, and there should have been a wailing and a mourning from one end of America to another. Say amen, somebody. Now, I'm going to talk to you about this idea of glad rags, because I do believe people put glad rags on the gospel. And what I want you to understand is that I am not advocating condemnation, negativity, or darkness. I want power. I want power to raise the dead. I believe the Lord can restore missing limbs in this hour. I believe the Lord can save the lowest and the darkest and the most deeply addicted. And I want miracles. Does anybody beside me want miracles? That's why I'm going to tell you a story about me. Then I'm going to tell you a story from the Bible. Back in the 1900s, in the year 19, none of your business, I received a letter. And I could see my name was misspelled, but I knew they'd gotten the Mario part right. And the letter said, "Would you come to Vancouver, British Columbia, and conduct a crusade to win souls?" That's what I do. Well, I flew to Vancouver. The man who met me was from Tulsa, Oklahoma, who had taken the great evangelistic tabernacle pastored by Ern Baxter. He had taken it, and they had voted him in. And he would later found Grace Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But here was this American in Canada, and he had invited me to preach. And you don't, I don't know, how many of you know somebody from Oklahoma? They're just different. Wave your hand at me right now. They're just different. I don't know how else to explain it. But I got off the plane, and I could see consternation in his countenance, but I didn't know why. And he said in a rather calm voice, "You look a lot younger in person than you do in your pictures." Brother Cirillo. This is what you call a situation. What we have here is a failure to communicate. I said, Marillo. You're not Morris Cirillo? No, I'm not. I'm not nearly that old. No. And he said, "Well, we've got buses coming from all sides of Western Canada. We have a deaf section and a wheelchair section. And we're getting our luggage." And he looks at me and says, "Do you have a healing ministry?" I said, "No, sir, I don't. Matter of fact, I'm not feeling well right now." He said, "Well," puts my luggage in his car, and we drive over to the hotel. He said, "Son, you have a healing ministry?" I said, "It's like I said, no, I don't." He nodded again, put me in the hotel room, opened the door, put my luggage inside, put his hand on the handle, the doorknob, and he's slowly closing the door. He says, "Son, do you have a healing ministry?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, you better have one by 7 o'clock. How many of you'd like to know what happened? Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, I'm going to tell you the outcome of that. I died in that room. I died. I heard Miss Kuhlman talk about death to self. I had a wonderful funeral that day. There wasn't a last drop. I'm in a foreign country. I'm still a teenager. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this is going to be a public execution. So the pastor called me and he said, "I'm about to come over there. Call me at 6:30. I'd been praying all day. I mean, you know, it wasn't hard to pray that day. I couldn't stop praying. And the Lord said, "Son, do you want power? Look at me. Do you want power?" I said, "Yes, Lord." "Then speak my word. Speak it in love. Don't say one thing less or one thing more than what I tell you to say." So I said, "Lord, whatever you tell me to say tonight, I'm going to say it." And it had nothing to do with healing. I said, "This isn't helping." He said, "That's what I want you to understand, that men believe when they get in pulpits that if they teach on a subject, that I'm obligated to honor their choice of that subject with miracles. Miracles come to confirm the word. Miracles come to confirm the word." I need some help tonight. Miracles come to confirm the word. And it's the word of the Lord. So I stood there and I said, "What do you want me to say to these folks from Vancouver, British Columbia?" And I start hearing, "You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." The Lord told me to warn the people that a change was coming to society. I had no idea how true that was. I told them that they needed to hold on to their children. I'm writing it down. I get to the church. I'm on the platform. They introduce me. I look at the choir and the worshipers, and I said, "Sing that song again." Made them sing it 50 times. I figure if I could postpone it indefinitely, everyone would go home. I said, "Sing it again." And I heard a lady in the deaf section say, "What did he say?" And she said back, "He said, sing it again." And they did. And they sang it. And I'm watching the pastor. You got to have mercy on pastors. I look behind me. He is changing color right before my eyes. He is absolutely sure that this is going to be an unqualified disaster. I say, sing it again. And the Lord said, do not postpone my word any longer. So I began to deliver a word in the exact manner that I was instructed to do it. Is everybody watching me right now? I was done. And there was this awkward moment of complete silence in the building. And I know I'm done. And the pastor knows I'm done. I see him assuming the position that a pastor assumes when he rescues a service. And before he could stand up, a man in the back began screaming. I didn't know why. I didn't care. He might have been a devil. He might have been a protester. He might have been somebody that had injured himself. All I knew is that the spotlight came off of me and it went on him. Then he had the unmitigated temerity to jump on his feet and begin yelling even louder. I'm still not bothered. Yelling hasn't bothered me since. He starts running down the side of the church building, a 1,500 seat, a magnificent building. He comes running down the side of the building, stands on the stage, and proceeds to touch his toes and straighten out. I look back, and the pastor is weeping. Got his handkerchief out. He's weeping. This is a good sign. Oh, no, help me now. This is a good sign. My life changed so dramatically. When the pastor came up and he said, this is one of my elders. He was a hero in the Second World War until shrapnel was embedded in his spine. Hot metal from an explosion was in his spine. He said, for all of these years, for 40 years, for all of this time, 25 years, every night he is compelled to soak in a tub for 2 hours to be able to go to sleep. The metal had left his spine. The pain had left his spine. He was instantly healed by the power of God. Somebody, give God the glory. I was relieved. When deaf ears began to open to my right, folks got out of wheelchairs. Healings broke out everywhere. And by the end of that service, people didn't care what my name was because the Lord had come. And I was to be there for that one service the next 14 straight days. There wasn't an empty seat in that church. And the miracles of God broke out. Now look at me. In 1 Samuel 11, there's a story. I'm going to read it to you a little bit. How many of you don't mind if I read from the Bible? Amen. Just follow me. 1 Samuel 11, let's look at verse 1. Everyone, please. How many of you are getting blessed so far? Amen. Don't look at the time or God will break your watch. And if you own a Rolex, you really don't want to look right now. Then Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. It was futility to resist them, so they agreed to become slaves. Nahash the Ammonite, a cousin to people in Isis, said, on this one condition, I'll make a covenant with you. That I may put out your right eyes and bring reproach on all Israel. Islam is angry at our way of life. They want to shame America and shame Israel. Get that through your brain. Quit living in a Pollyanna world. That's they have declared war on our way of life. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. Are you with me? I'm going to read verse 3. Then the elders of Jabesh said to him, "Hold off for 7 days, that we may send messengers to all of the territory of Israel." Nahash didn't mind this because he was itching for a fight with Israel's best. He wanted it. And they said, "And then if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you." That's verse 3. So the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the news in the hearing of the people. And all of the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now there was Saul coming behind from the herd from the field. And Saul said, "What troubles the people? Why do they weep?" And he told him the words of the men of Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hand of the messengers, saying, "Whosoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle, so shall be done to his oxen." And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said to the messengers that came, "Thus shall you say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by this time when the sun is hot, you shall be saved." Somebody clap for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They're going to take out your wife's right eye. They're going to take out your children's right eye. And then you say, "Wait 1 week before you gouge the eye out of my children and my wife, and let us send messengers. Look me in the eye." What kind of messenger are you going to send? Who are you going to send? You going to send a guy that sells cars at midnight and stands up there with a toothy grin and says to the people, "Hey, let me tell you, everything is just fine." No, it's not fine. I'm about to lose my eye, my wife's eye, and my child's eye. That's what I'm telling you about today. We need men that will get in the American pulpit and say they're taking away our rights, they're taking away our freedom, they're destroying everything that's great about us, and God is sitting up there ready to help us with the 9 gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, I was once a pastor, and I'm just telling you right now, I am through playing church. Amen. I'm going to get over on this side. I am through playing church because I know what's at stake. Where I am in perfect unity with pastor is in my belief in the inevitable restoration of Almighty God in this country. Amen. 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke me up. How many of you has the Lord ever awakened you at 3 o'clock in the morning? What is up with 3 o'clock in the morning? How many of you like me, brilliant at noon? The strangest message. I'm going to stand right here. Just give me a few minutes to get my heart settled. The Lord said, "Study what the devil is doing to American youth." He said, "I raised you up as a youth evangelist back in the day. You got to go back to your roots and study what Satan is doing." I didn't like what I found out. Higher percentage of suicide among American youth than Afghanistan. Cuba, Russia? What was feeding on the soul of our children? I began to weep. I don't want to know these things. But then I could feel Satan. He said, I will destroy them. He said, I will have them. He said, I'm going to use professors, the manipulation of textbooks, the indoctrination from the age of 5, where they'll be taught gay lifestyle, even in kindergarten. I'm going to get them. What they won't get in the classroom, I'll give them through the internet. What they don't get through the internet and what they don't get through the classroom, I'll give it through their friends. I'll spread disease. I'll take away their hope. I'll chew them up. I'll spit them out. I'll put them in a nameless grave. The devil kept going like that. And then all of a sudden, the voice of the Lord drowned him out. He said, but I will pour out my spirit on them. Oh, I think you better make some noise right now. Somebody say hallelujah. Is this all right to preach like this? I will pour out my spirit on them. On your sons and your daughters. I've got news for you. You better shout. Your children are coming to God. Your children are not going to be addicted to drugs. They are not going to end up in prison. They're going to end up filled with the Holy Spirit, a part of a great army. So I'm going to tell you, who do you send from Jabesh Gilead over to Gibeah, where Saul is? Somebody who can make people weep. Well, these old boys that preached in our country, they could make an audience wail and weep. They didn't flatter them. They didn't leave them unaffected. It made them weep. Sometime we need to stir up anger. Oh, not human anger. Divine anger. Did you know that the king had the best oxen of anybody in Israel? Did you know that some oxen can weigh up to 3,000 pounds? That's more than a pickup truck. I'm trying to think right now. If we didn't just read through a miracle and didn't even know it. Because when Saul, and this is what I'm going to tell you, the kind of preachers we need today have got to be able to make an audience cry. The second thing they've got to be able to do is amazing. Saul took a sword and cut an ox that weighs 3,000 pounds. That's supernatural. That's supernatural. That's supernatural. But what it showed the crowd was the king's sacrifice. He said, I'm not above you. I'm not detached from you. I'm not hiding from you behind an entourage. I'm with you. And I'm going to sacrifice. Let me tell you, Saul taking a sword to his oxen is tantamount to a television evangelist taking a chainsaw to his Rolls Royce. It's that moment when he says, I'm going to be different than anybody else in my era. And I'm, by example, going to sacrifice. Now look at me, because I'm going to say some of you aren't going to like it. David Wilkerson was so different that God could send him to the gangs of New York. He didn't preach the same as anybody else. He didn't sound like anybody else, because he was moved like I was in British Columbia. The Lord said, if you say this, I'll give you miracles. Don't tell me you want to empty wheelchairs, because God says to empty that wheelchair, you've got to preach what's on my heart. You know what? don't tell me that Brother Hagin wasn't a prophet, because if you don't think he was a prophet, there is something wrong with you. You think he got up there and flattered the American church? He took us to the woodshed. You're living below your inheritance. You don't believe the promises of God are for you. He taught absolute prosperity when everyone was hung up on being poor. He was controversial, help me somebody. He took it from everybody. Every theologian in the land was blasting what he was saying. I'm going to get real down to earth. If Dr. King had tried to sound like every other Baptist in Georgia, he had a mandate. Help me somebody. He has a mandate. And when you hear a preacher that sounds like 10 other preachers, you know they don't have a mandate. They're not a voice. They're an echo. And they're not connected to the problem. Am I preaching yet? It is time for us to have a new breed of voice in the American pulpit that says, look, you didn't hire me. You can't fire me. I'm filled with love. I'm preaching out of the passion and the fire of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
First thing that the modern preacher that we need today has got to make an audience weep. How many of you know this is not negative, right? It's not condemning. How many of you feel life in what I'm saying right now? How many of you feel hope in what I'm saying? You know what Washington doesn't want? Washington doesn't want the men of God to rise up in this country. God, Washington doesn't want prophets who are totally incapable of political correctness. You can't make me back down. You can't make me shut up. You can't make me change the subject. Because what I've got will make the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, will set the gangster free and give power to those that have none. Say amen. Number one, they got to make people weep. Second, they've got to demonstrate personal sacrifice. A rage that comes up within them and says, I am for real. And when he cut up the oxen, it stunned the people. It was supernatural. And it sent a shockwave through a nation. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of these girly preachers. I'm tired of these effeminate preachers. I'm tired of these people that are up on their toes sounding like they're trying to seduce you, when we ought to have church where there's glory and power and fire and a release of the Holy Spirit. And it makes people believe that they can be used of God. Number three, cause an army to form. There is power in the name of Jesus. We need to sing that before this week is over. There is power in the name of Jesus. Help me somebody to break every chain. To break every chain. Now, we need ministers today and this is what churches in Denver, this actually happened. Spirit-filled church went seeker. And they took the people who were demon-possessed in their congregation and sent them to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist turned around and sent them to an on-fire Holy Ghost church where they cast out devils. Somebody help me right now. Do you see where I'm going with this? Does anybody see where I'm going with this? When he numbered them, there were 300,000 in one day. This is the part that I want to show you, where Pastor and I are in total agreement on this point. Total. God can change America overnight.
Amen.
He can change America overnight. Overnight, 300,000 men showed up. I'm telling you, I'm going to say it until I'm hoarse. Overnight, 300,000 men showed up. And it turned the tables. It wasn't even time to fight yet, and the tables were turned. The liberals, the socialists, the atheists, and the anti-God forces, that want us gay, transgender, and everything else know one thing. What Yamamoto said in 1941, they congratulated him for bombing Pearl Harbor. What they didn't know about Admiral Yamamoto is that he was schooled in our Ivy League schools. And he looked at him and he said, while they were congratulating him for his great victory, bombing Pearl Harbor, he said, "I know the Americans. I've lived with the Americans. And I fear that all we've done is awaken a sleeping giant and fill them with a great resolve." That's all we need. We need the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Assembly of God. Forget your denominational tags. Wake up, because you know America's at stake. And brother, what you believe and what I believe doesn't matter, because they're coming after our kids. They're coming after our Constitution. And by the Holy Ghost, we are going to fight and win by the power of God. God can unify the black church, the white church, the Latin church, where all of us forget what color we are. Forget all of these things that they have done to try to divide us. All the lies they've spoken, all of the foolishness, and understand we have a common hope. We have a cross that we all knelt at. We have a blood that washed all of us. We have a nation that we all love. Hallelujah. Clap your hands. Clap your hands right now. Hallelujah. Raise your hands right now. There's so many healings going on right now, I can't even keep up with them all. Pray in the language of the Holy Spirit. Pray in the language of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Louder. All the way in the back, get louder. My left and my right, get louder. There's an army rising up. I'm going to say that there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Well, I'm going to keep going with that. There's an army rising up to break every chain. All of the advancements that have made against God in America can be won back. When Pastor said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." The history of revival. One nation under God. Prayer in the schools. They're all available to Americans right now. That's in our future.